The first one, John 15, let me paraphrase. John 15:15. Jesus was talking, Jesus says this. He says, hey, I'm not going to treat you like servants anymore. I'm going to treat you like a friend. Paraphrase. I'm going to treat you like a friend. Because a servant doesn't know what the Father is thinking, but I know what the Father is thinking, and I'm going to tell you what he's thinking about. Now, the whole gist of that is I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be your friend. Okay? I want to be your friend. Now, if you have a friendship, you have a relationship. In a relationship, you got certain things going on. You have happy, joy, smile, fun, good time. You also have some sad times. You know? So you'll have some sad times. You also have some times where there's correction or there's rebuke or there's discipline. You also have some times where there's excitement, there's fun, there's work. Relationship. You got all that. And Jesus said, I want a relationship with you. And this is what the Lord gave me. He said this. He said, I got Christians. I have people. I have children. They have a house, but they don't have a home. I want you to have a home. They have a house, but they don't have a home. Let me explain between the house and a home. A house is where you can stay. When you get saved, you're born again, we become the temple of the Lord. You got a house with the Lord. But a lot of people have a house, they don't have a home. When I say that, what I mean by that is they got a place to stay. But there's no love. Bedroom represents love. There's no love there. They got a place to stay. They're in the house, but there's no food. Kitchen represents food to eat. They have a place to stay. They got a living room, but there's no relaxed time. There's no chill time. There's no fun. It's all tense and tight. And there's a lot of fighting going on. They have a bathroom. The stuff ain't clean. They can't get clean. Always dirt. And so they got a house. You got people. They got a house. But it ain't a home. They go home and they're like, oh, I know kids. They want to stay at school instead of going. Because it ain't a home. It's a house. They got a place. But it ain't a home. And so the Lord's like, I got some Christians. They're in my house, so to speak, but they haven't got a home because they don't have a relationship. Number one, bedroom, love. I love you. But I got a lot of Christians, they don't think I love them. And they're more worried about their sin than they're worried about my love. And they focus more on their sin than they focus on my love. I love you. Even though you don't do it all right, my love is greater than your sin. So they always bringing up their sin and always, I messed up and I didn't do right and what about this and so on and so forth. And they can't have a home because they're so worried about their. And I love them. And if they'll ever relax and let me love them and stop worrying about all the mess. Yes, I know you got mess and I know you got issues, but we're working on it. We're working on it. We're getting it. If you let me love you, this house, feel like a home. Does that make a little bit of sense? Kitchen. Food. That's why I feed you. I'm the bread of life. I feed you. I feed my word feeds you. It's the bread. It's the way you eat. My bread, my word. That's what it is. But I got so many, they won't eat. Now, you got to understand, now when you're a baby, you're begging the Lord. What do you do to babies? Can babies feed themselves? No. So you got to feed them, and God will feed you. But there comes a point. When you get my age, Jackie over there. The only reason she might be doing that, I'm really lost. But outside of that, he cooked, I got to eat. I got to go get it. The Lord has cooked. His kitchen is open. He has made the food. You got to go get it. You got to go read. You got to go study the Bible. You got to get into the Word. You got to do it yourself. He didn't have a book. Go get your butt in the Word yourself. You go and I feed you. I'm not supposed to be feeding you. Now, if you obey me, I'll take you. But many of us ain't babies. Your house becomes a home when you eat well. You got to eat. I know some Christians out there, they ain't eating. Living room, hanging out, just relaxing with the Lord, getting to know a relationship. You got to get to know them. I see people all the time, and I keep kind of trying to get across to them, because I see people and they're out, and they'll say, "Oh, baby, sorry, I didn't come to church. Sorry, I missed church." And I'm like, "It's all right. Listen, if you want to stay home, stay home. If you want to relax, relax. You get up in the morning and say, you know what, I don't feel like going to church. Stay home. Relax. It's okay. Don't fall in love with church. Fall in love with Jesus." No, don't get me wrong. We need church. Church is like a family. You need a family. You can't make it in this world. I will always tell somebody, get a church. Find you a church. It don't have to be you. You like whatever church, go find it. You need a family. If you can't make it in this world by yourself, if you try, you separate yourself from the flock and say, "You're going to tear your butt up." But church didn't save you. Jesus. You got to learn how to hang out with Jesus. People who don't know how to hang out, they fall in love with the church and they don't fall in love with Jesus. Here's what they do. "That's my seat. That's my building. That's my table. That's my position." When they fall in love with the church become more than Jesus. Fall in love. And they'll kill you over something. But when you fall in love with Jesus, I want you to fall in love with Jesus. Have a relationship where you can just hang out. It's chill. That's living. That makes your house a home. Are you relaxed with Jesus? Make your house a home. Bathroom. Clean up. Forgiveness. A place to go for forgiveness. Repent. Forgive. And okay, Lord, show me how to do this. Repent and forgiveness. You got to understand. It doesn't just, you got to work on that. You got to go do that. It don't just, "Okay, God, make me feel repentant. Make me feel, you know, like forgiving. Make me just forgive everybody." No, you got to work with that. Sometimes you got to struggle. I know there's some people out there like, "Ugh, I got to work on it." You got to work on it. When you do that, your house becomes like, "All right, I'm going to do it."
All right, that was it. Okay.
Woo, okay. No, it's wrong.
There it is. All right.
Same thing I saw. I saw this. I saw a skyscraper. And, I mean, it was like being in New York or, you know, Texas or somewhere, Florida. Big city. Skyscraper. Big office on top of the building. I saw picture God gave me. I saw this big building and it was a big company, and it was a global company like Exxon or, you know, UPS or FedEx, something big global company. And the people up there were working, and it was the head office, and you're up high. I mean, I saw the elevator, and took the elevator way up, and they're up and they're on the top floor, and there are all these people working in there. But it's not everybody. There's a lot of people in that building, but it's not a whole, it's not everybody. It's a smaller number. Small number, so to speak. So you might, you know, you got thousands of people that work for this company, but only so many work in this building, in this office. So that's the picture I saw. And these were Christians. And the global company was owned by God. And so you're up there, you're high. And so in the natural, you can see everything. And in the spiritual, you know what's going on from the inside because you're in that company, you're working for it, you see everything that's going on from the natural, and you also see everything what's going on in the spiritual, what's going on inside the business. So you're seeing from a whole other level than the other people who worked out here. You got a whole different viewpoint. And so you're up here. And so I saw that and I said, "Okay, Lord, what's going on?" And those people, the way they got up there is they got in the elevator. And they got in the elevator, and it took them all the way up. And I said, "What is that?" And God said, "That's the faith. Your faith taking people to work on this level. So that you can see what other people don't see." And he said, "I want this for my people. I want you to, your faith to go up." And I said, "It's okay, yes." And then God started giving me scripture. three things you pointed out. First, Matthew 8. And here's how he said, your faith. So I come from my faith. Now, he's talking to me. Okay? The best preachers preach to themselves. So he's talking to me. I ain't talking about you. He's talking about me. All right? So he's talking to me. He said, man, your faith. He said, step up. And then he gave me the remember in Matthew 8, and remember that they get in the boat, the disciples get in the boat with Jesus, and there's a storm comes up. Y'all know what Jesus was doing? He was sleeping. Alright? The storm comes up, and you know, the water's going over and all that, and they're freaking out, and they wake Jesus up, and, you know, and we don't die. And Jesus gets up, calms the storm, and they trip out, and Jesus says, oh, ye a little faith. Where's your faith? So he started pointing to me about faith. So how do you? And so I said, okay, Lord, I see that. Sometimes the storm kind of scares me, and I'm worried. And he said, and so I said, how do I get my faith up? I got a little faith. He's talking to me. I know he's talking to me. How do you get your faith? So I'm asking you a question. All right. Next 30 seconds. 1 minute. How do you get your faith up?
Push the top button.
Push the button.
Push the top button.
Push the top button. That means your faith up. So all y'all have the top button. How many of you got supernatural faith? Go ahead, raise your hand. I mean, you can walk on water, faith, stop. You don't have no issue, no problem. Got it. Come on. How do you get your faith up? Now, you're from somewhere. All right. How do you get your faith up?
Go through struggle.
Get your faith up. Well, my faith ought to be this message. How do you get your faith up? Graham, how do you get your faith up?
Look at the law.
Okay, look at the law. Okay. Okay. And then I make that then I get more faith.
Well, you look at the law and you see what you can't do. You don't do it even when you think you can. You realize you're not. Otherwise, you got to be a liar and hypocrite. So you say, man, I need something more.
Okay. All right. So I look at the law. Excuse me a little bit. But I look at the law and I see what I can't do. And I know I can't do it. So what do I do? How do I get my... Now, you got to understand, Jesus is little. He's kind of like, where's your faith? How can you say things? Have y'all ever been there? Maybe I'm the only one where you have like, I mean, God's looking at me like, man, look how long I've kept you. Look how much I did. You shouldn't have more faith, but I don't. How do I get my faith up?
Start trusting him in difficult situations.
All right, so I start trusting him. Okay, so I get in a difficult situation, and what do I do? I trust him. So how do I do that?
Pray hard.
Okay. Alright, they come in to get, I'm lost, I'm getting ready to do something, but it's about to fall apart, and I'm just going to say that I'm going to trust. And it comes, the time comes, and everything passes, and I lose everything I'm supposed to do. I've been praying for. Did I mess up? Well, I was praying for something, I prayed for somebody to live, praying for something to happen, praying for something to go through, and it fell apart. And I prayed, and I believed, and it didn't happen. And I trusted him. Does your faith go up or go down? Well, let me ask you this. Have you ever did that? I'm sorry, maybe I didn't ask the question. Have you ever believed God for something and it didn't happen? Did your faith go up or did it go down? How do you get your faith up?
Stop trying. Fear God.
Yes.
Fear God.
You fear God? Okay.
You also reflect on the experiences He's brought you through. When you look back.
I remember. Exactly. I trust. Alright, I've been walking with the Lord over 30 years. I got some memories. Swear to God, last week I got scared on something.
A good one.
Oh, okay.
That's what works for me.
Okay. I'm in that. I'm in that. One of the things. This is what God was giving me. He said, "Bam, put your focus. What you looking at? Whatever you're looking at, what are you focusing? The storm. Why were they scared? Because they were gonna possibly they could die. And the Lord said this, man, they wanted to live. And they got so focused. And I'm gonna live. They were focused on living. And they need to be more focusing on dying. Remember to come and get the cross, take up the cross and follow me? We need to be more focused on dying than living. If I live, I need to have what they got and go where they go and do what they do and be who they are. And I'm trying to live, I'm going to live. And God said, you need to focus on dying. Die to how you want things and where you want to go and how you want to make it. If you start focusing on death of you, said, I got to get me, you think you're going. One of the ways is who you, what are you focusing on? Second, I don't have my time. Give me 2 minutes. Matthew 14. Jesus is in the boat. Well, disciples are in the boat. Jesus comes walking to him. You remember? Peter gets out. He said, is that you, Jesus? He said, come on. So Peter walks out, you know, and he starts walking on the water. And he sees the wind. And he looks at the wind, gets scared, and starts, and pulls him up. Jesus pulls him up, pulls him in the boat. And he says, you a little faith. God is messing with him. He says, man, sometimes we get focused. Instead of focusing on my word, we focus on the wind. The wind of people's criticisms, what they feel and how they think about you, and opinions. And you focus on the wind, you fall, you're faithful. You don't focus on my word. If I tell you something, I got you. Lord said, here's what Lord said to me. Way back, before 2000, bam, started in the Richard Church. And I said, no. step out of the boat, step out. No. I said, okay, step out there and the wind started blowing. I'm telling you a lot. I had some black people who got some money, who got some clout in this little area, and they flat out told me, they were nice about it, they were straight up. They just told me to my face, I'm gonna spend my time with white people on Sunday. I said, I got you. I had some white people, they got clout, they were cool with it. They didn't, you know, they just said, man, no. They came, they sat, they listened, they said, I get it, but no. And it was straightforward. I had people say stuff, and if you listen to the wind instead of the word,
that's right.
God's going to ask you to step out of your boat. And if he asks you to step out of your boat and you listen to the wind, but if you don't, the other way. Last thing. Matthew 17. You remember Jesus was, he was doing something and the disciples came to him and there was a boy and he had a demon. And they couldn't get the demon out. And so they go to Jesus and say, Jesus. And Jesus says, where's your faith? And then he, bam! I don't know what he did, but I'm just going like that. And the demon came out. And then he said, what happened? He said, it's your faith. fasting and praying, but it's your faith, bottom line. You had to get weak faith. You couldn't get the demon out.
And you will, and God hit me with it. He said, man,
one way to make your faith up is your focus. You need to focus more on deliverance than you focus on the demons. Focus more on my power than you focus on the power of the demon. Now, he said this to me because I messed up. I told the brother the other day, I got these kids I got to watch. This one kid, you know what I'm talking about, but this one kid, I mean, this kid is messed up. This is a messed up kid. This is an evil kid. This kid is a trick. And this kid, I done already told him, I said, if you don't deal with this kid, if you don't get to this kid, he's going to hurt somebody. He's going to slaughter somebody. He's going to do something in the school. I told them. And they put me with him, and they wanted me to work with this kid. And I was like, I don't know who this kid. This kid crazy. Now, he's been made crazy because he's in a family situation. It ain't his fault. He's in a messed up situation. That makes him crazy. And so, if I could say somebody got things, this one got some stuff. But it ain't his fault when it's messed up. And so, one day I'm dealing with him, and I'm doing okay. Then one day I went to get him, and he did something that pissed me off. And I stopped right in my tracks, in my steps, and I said, go. Go on back to play. I'm going to have nothing to do with you. I called, I text the administrator, said, don't call me no more. You want to fire me, fire me. Ain't got nothing to do with him. That was it. Come on. I said, they were, don't you want? No. And you got to talk. No. Don't want to deal with it. Later on, not long after, he's in a situation, here's some stuff. They come running to me. He's all a big mess. And all they say to me, bang, pray. So, long story short, things were working out. But God jumped off over me. God had to spank me because of anger. You were more focused on the demons than you were focused on my faith. You want your faith, you want to get up there? Then be focused. I don't know if you know it or not, but we got some people who got some demons. They might be little demons, but they could be demons. We got some stuff to deal with. We want to get our faith to work. Focus. Does that make a little sense? Father, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. You're an awesome God. Thank you for loving us. Father, take us higher. Take our faith higher, Father. Help us to focus on you. That's Father, Mom. I love you. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. And y'all be blessed. Good day.